Today's going to be a little bit different. We're going to do things in a way that is not our normal routine, and I think that's important. I think if we change the routine once in a while, it makes things a little more meaningful, a little more fresh. So I'm glad you're here to experience today as we let the table do the talking. There's not even a pulpit this morning because the Lord's table is going to proclaim the gospel. Paul says that when you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he come. And so we're going to let the table do the talking today. And I'm glad that you're going to be here to be a part of our time together. When you came in this morning, you received a bulletin with announcements on one side. On the other side, there's kind of an outline of the story that the table tells. We'll be able to follow that outline as we go through the service this morning. And you'll notice, first of all, that the table, the invitation to the table is a reminder that we need grace. We just sang that he is our one defense, our righteousness. In other words, we have nothing to bring on our own. The table is a reminder that we need grace. Isaiah says that all of us, that we all like sheep, have gone astray, each to his own way. For some of us, that means that we strayed or wandered far from God in a way that everybody knew about. It was clear to everyone that we were wandering away from God. Others of us perhaps wandered more subtly. Maybe it was a matter of the heart or the mind. We wandered from God. And whether it was clear and intentional and obvious to everyone or whether it was subtle, it was still rebellious. And we still need grace. Who is worthy to come to the table? The answer is no one. The table is the place that Christ has made available to sinners. If that doesn't fit you, if you're not a sinner, then the invitation really isn't for you. But the truth is, everyone in this room and everyone in this world is a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all need grace. And it is here that we find that grace, because it is here that we remember the price that Christ paid for our forgiveness, that we might receive his righteousness. In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul introduces the Lord's Supper to the church. And when he does, he begins it by a very important instruction. He says, let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Let a person examine himself before he comes to the table. Why is that? It is not so that you can examine yourself and say, have I been good enough lately to come? Because that would rule us all out. Instead, when he says, examine yourself before you come, what he's saying is, don't rush to the table. Don't treat it like a snack. Don't come and go. Don't hold it over someone else's head. But take a moment and examine yourself so that you realize your need for grace. When you realize your need for grace, he says, then so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. We're going to take a moment. We won't stretch it out long, but we're going to take a moment of silence. Just examine yourself, not to decide if you're worthy. We know that's the answer already. Take a moment to examine yourself so that you more fully appreciate the grace that is found at the table. You say, John, you don't understand the seriousness of my sin. You don't understand how far from God I went or how long I stayed away. You don't know how great my sin is. And my answer to you is, you're probably right. But I don't have to know. It's none of my business. Because what I do know is that His grace is greater than all our sin. The invitation to the table tells us that we need grace. The bread speaks from the table as well. And the bread says to us that He gave Himself for us. In that text that we so often turn to when we have the Lord's Supper together, 1 Corinthians 11, Paul tells us that Jesus said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And so we talk about the bread sometimes. We remember that it's broken. That's why we like to use the matzah bread, one of the reasons, because each piece shows a brokenness. It shows us that that Jesus broke the bread and said, "This is a symbol of my body given for you." And the matzah bread that we use also has little dots, little, very small little holes in it. Those holes are there because in the baking process, the air needs to get out so that it can be a flat, basically a cracker, instead of a big fluffy piece of bread. And there are also marks on it. Look like little burn marks, little grill marks. Again, part of the baking process. But when we hold it, we see that it is broken. He broke it and gave to them. We see the little holes, and we remember that His hands, His feet, His side, and His brow were all pierced in one way or another. We see the marks, and we remember the scourging. We remember how by His wounds we are healed. So the bread speaks. The bread says something very important that we might overlook from time to time, but I want us to catch it this morning. This is my body, which is for you. This is why in our tradition, we serve one another, and then we pause so that everyone has a piece of bread in their hand. That piece of bread that you will receive in just a moment, I want you to hold in your hand, recognizing that it is very personal. He said, "This is my body, which is given for you." Yes, communion brings us together as a family, as a church, but we each hold the bread because it's very personal. He gave Himself for you. Let the bread speak today. In just a moment, we'll pass the plate. You'll receive the bread. I want you to know that you don't have to be a member of our church. You don't even have to be a Baptist. It is important that you've accepted Christ, that you're following Jesus. And as you do, you'll be able to hold that bread and remember that He gave Himself for you. When you receive your bread, remember, this is the broken body. It's a symbol of it. It's a picture. The broken body. It wasn't just given for the world. It's in your hand because it was given for you. As we distribute the bread and the cup today, those of you who normally worship with us will notice another difference, and that is that we're not going to play music while we're distributing and sharing the bread and the cup. Instead, we'll hear scripture that will help us to focus our mind, experience the Lord Jesus Christ as we see the bread, as we hold and touch the bread. We'll hear the words that describe the bread, and then we'll receive the bread together.
The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 and 24 says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'"
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. With his wounds, we are healed. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. Our Father, we come today recognizing our need for grace and acknowledging the overwhelming, amazing grace that you have given to us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for the amazing sacrifice, the incredible love that you showed as you laid down your life for us. Thank you that you have given to us abundant and free and eternal life. We are grateful for your love, and today we remember what it cost that we might know you. So we say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. In Romans 8, God is referred to, Paul refers to God as he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. The invitation to the table speaks, and it tells us that we need grace. The bread speaks, and it tells us that he has given himself for us. And the cup speaks as well. The cup says to us that the price has been paid. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 again, Paul explained it this way by saying, "The cup is the new covenant." He's quoting Jesus, and Jesus says the night that he shared it with his disciples, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood." The cup tells us something that every sinner needs to hear, and that is that the price has been paid. He says it's a new covenant. There was an old covenant. In the Old Testament, we come to know what we call the law. And the law was primarily given so that you and I could learn that we can't keep it. The law demonstrated our sin for us. It helped us understand our sinful nature and our need for a Savior. But now Jesus has come. The Savior has come. And so he says, now I'm going to introduce a new covenant. Not the old one based on a law that you can't keep, but a new one based on my blood. It is an act of mercy. It is an act of grace. In other words, he paid the price. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. In other words, God takes sin very seriously, as he should, because sin separates. Sin brings guilt. Sin brings harm. Sin brings pain. And so God is not going to take it lightly. Instead, he takes it seriously. As a just God, he knows and he says there is a price to be paid for sin. But as a gracious God, he says, I love you enough that I'll pay that price for you. And he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we read that you were ransomed, not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. That is what the cup says. The cup proclaims that we have a new covenant in his blood, that when we trust in him, he has paid the price for our sin. Today, when you hold that cup in your hand, take a moment to look at the color. Take a moment to consider the symbol, the connection between that juice and the blood of Jesus Christ. Hold it in your hand because it was shed for you, and consider what a great price he paid that you and I might know him.
Paul continues in verse 25 and says, in the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.
Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. For I will forgive their iniquity and will remember their sin no more. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, in other words, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Our Father, we celebrate the grace that we find at the table. We remember that Christ's body was broken and given for us. So we say thank you. And then we remember that his blood was shed to pay a price that we could not pay. And today we remember and say thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1 John, we read that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So you've heard it a couple of times today already. Hear it once more. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Did you hear that last part? The Lord's Supper is about grace. It is about given for you. It is about the price. But it's also about the fact that the story isn't over yet. He says, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. That means that the story's not over yet. Jesus told his disciples that night, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in the Father's kingdom. There will be a day when the one who came and died will return glorified. There will be a day when Jesus comes back. When he comes back, he will gather his people to himself. There will be a great celebration around another table. That table is called the wedding feast of the Lamb. We're going to enjoy sitting down at table with Jesus himself. He says it's going to happen, and he says he's going to come and take us to that place to be with him for all eternity. When you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The story is not over yet. One day we're going to see him face to face. One day faith will become sight. And we're going to hear, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The table tells us that grace is available. The bread tells us he gave himself for us. The cup tells us the price has been paid. And now the table points us toward the future and reminds us the story isn't over. Our Savior is alive and his kingdom is coming.